Carol Leifer is an Emmy Award winner who has written for such shows as Hacks, Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Modern Family, Saturday Night Live, The Larry Sanders Show, and 10 Academy Awards broadcasts. As a stand-up, she appeared on The Tonight Show, HBO, as well as Late Night with David Letterman. Her brand new book is How to Write a Funny Speech for a Wedding, Bar Mitzvah, Graduation, and Every Other Event That You Didn't Want to Go to in the First Place. She has written this with Rick Mitchell, and it's an absolute delight to welcome Carol Leifer to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm well. I'm better now speaking to you. I'm been a great fan of your work for a very long time, and I find your career to be fascinating, and it's a real delight to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Obviously, you make a lot of speeches as well as doing what you do professionally in
yes.
writing and stand up. And when you're doing a speech, how is that different from a stand-up performance or just a performance?
Well, actually, Joe, when I do stand up, when anybody does stand up, it is sort of like a speech because it does have the elements of a speech in that a beginning, middle, and end. Of course, if you're a comedian, the whole thing should be funny. The reason why Rick and I wanted to write the book is because we've been to too many events, as I'm sure many members of your audience, where people have gotten up to make speeches and it just is horrible to witness. And not only that, it kind of puts a huge damper on whatever event you're at. But with the advent of people taping and recording the speeches, if it's a bad speech, it could be up on the web in perpetuity, haunting you. So we really felt like, as a public service, we should write this book so that people don't get caught in that trap, because it really is easier than people think to write a funny speech, to write a good speech. And we wanted to walk people through it step by step. And, you know, it's very handy. It's very short because it's not complicated. So that's why we did it.
Why do you think so many people, I think people would rather have goiters removed in some cases than get up and make a speech? What is it about that, such a challenge to so many people?
Well, obviously, for comedians, it's very natural for me to want to get up and perform, talk in front of people. But for your average person, you're right, it's still the greatest fear out there. I think it's intimidating for people because people are not used to getting up and speaking. People aren't performers. But I think the biggest mistake, sadly, that people make before they write a speech is they think it has to be, they've got to get up there and be Jerry Seinfeld. No, the bar is set pretty low when you're asked to write a speech because people know that you're not a pro and people have a lot of empathy. I think it's really important to remember that when someone gets up to make a speech at an event, you know, the audience is with you, you know, and half of them are thinking, oh, thank God they didn't ask me. It's a warm house. So I think, you know, that hopefully will take away a lot of pressure for it. And I think people are afraid, obviously. They want to be funny, but they're not sure how. So in our book, not only do we have a step-by-step, but Rick Mitchell, who's also won an Emmy, he wrote on the Ellen Show for 5 years. We have a glossary of jokes that people are free to steal that they can plug in to any event. You know, we just felt like knock yourself out, you know, take them. And for people who really are afraid to write a speech, we have templates where it's sort of like Mad Libs. You can fill in the blanks for whatever event you're at. We just wanted to make it really easy for people so that people don't stress about it.
When it comes to as you say early on of just avoiding the rookie mistakes, what do you see the rookie mistakes being?
Oh, the rookie mistakes. Yes. The first one is, and this just happened this weekend, I went to Richard Lewis's memorial, who, of course, the great comedian, and I worked for, wrote for on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Everyone was amazing, of course, but a few of his friends who were not performers got up. The biggest mistake that people make are a couple. One is not introducing yourself and who you are to that person. I cannot tell you how many people get up there and just start talking. It's like, "Hi, I'm Carol Leifer, and I was a friend of Richard's from stand-up days to Curb Your Enthusiasm." And then people have a context for who you are in speaking about someone. I mean, I cannot tell you, Joe, how many people get up there, they just start talking about the person. And, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in, you're like, "Is this his aunt? Is this his teacher?" It becomes an episode of Dateline, just trying to figure out who the person is. And then the second biggest mistake that we felt people make in a speech is going on too long. And we have a rule for that. 5 minutes tops, 5 minutes and under. Because a lot of people out there feel like, "Well, to really show this person how I feel, I should really talk a long time." No, the opposite of that. 5 minutes is ideal length for a speech or under. Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 2.5 minutes, and people sure do still think of that speech. So certainly, not keeping law, because a lot of people don't realize when they give a speech at a wedding or an event like that, is they've asked other people to speak as well. So everybody's been through this. When you're sitting in at a reception like this, a lot of times, Joe, they don't serve the food until people have done the speeches, and you're sitting there and you're starving and you're
Yeah.
growling and you're listening to all these speeches. So short and sweet is definitely a tip. And another one, while we're here, is people get very nervous and they think, "I'll have a drink to loosen up," which is fine. Have a drink, get a little loose. But then they keep drinking to keep the looseness up. And they get up there and then they're hammered. And they sure are comfortable, but the audience is, just aghast at how drunk this person is. So keep the alcohol to a minimum.
You make the point in the book that if you hear crying, and it's you, signs that your speech is too long, you hear crying and it's not a baby. And when you
Yes.
hear in conclusion and people give you a standing ovation. When you were speaking at Richard Lewis's memorial service, like for you, like do you want to kill in that situation, or do you just, or is it to be respectful? Or it would seem like that would be very, especially with the people that you're around, that would be very stressful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I wasn't clear. I didn't actually speak at Richard's memorial. Amazing, amazing comedians and friends of his. Well, especially with someone in show business, yes, the bar is pretty high in what you're going to say about someone. But something that we touch upon in our How to Write a Funny Speech book is, even at memorials, a lot of people are afraid to be funny. But that's actually a beautiful place to be funny because it's a celebration of life. And when you tell stories, funny stories, especially that people can relate to, it's really kind of wonderful. I mean, absolutely, of course, you need to be respectful. But when people start to tell funny stories about the person who's passed away, you can just feel the audience just sink into it, in a lovely way, because we're trying to remember all that was beautiful about this person, and especially a comedian, about the funny things about this person. But you should be careful. Like, for example, I spoke at my cousin's memorial, and he sadly passed away prematurely at 55 from cancer. But when I was talking about him, and the audience knew this, of course, about him, he was, Joe, the biggest people person ever. He was so fun. I used to call him the Pied Piper of fun. He just was so fun. And one of the things I wrote in my speech was, for someone in recovery, I'd never met someone who partied so hard. So, of course, on the fence about that, I went to his widow, who I'm also very close with, and I said, "Would you mind if I mention the recovery thing?" She was like, "Oh, please, absolutely. So many people knew he was in recovery. It's fine." So, it's also not a bad idea when you're on the fence with something like that to reach out to someone that you know will be at the event that knows the person you're talking about, or like I did, ask their wife if it's okay. It's okay. It's not the Manhattan Project, your speech. You can definitely talk with other people about it. And actually, that turns out to be a good idea. We tell people, practice your speech in front of someone who's going to be at the event and knows the person. They're usually, a good sounding board.
Carol Leifer is our guest. The name of the new book is How to Write a Funny Speech, and it is written along with Rick Mitchell. I should note that you have samples of speeches that you have written, and then Rick comments on those, and then speeches that Rick has written that you comment on. So, and you show what works and what may not work.
Yeah, we wanted to put in some real life speeches to show where we went right and maybe where we could have done a little better. And also speeches that we've seen. I put in my one of my cousin's speeches. He spoke at his he was the best man at my other cousin's wedding. And for someone who is so shy and so reserved and such a wallflower at so many events, I swear he got up there. He was like Woody Allen. And, usually we recommend people bring up, you can glance at your phone, you can take an index card and maybe have some bullet points. But he got up there with nothing and he just killed. I think on YouTube it has over a million views. It was so good. So we put in a lot of speeches to show the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes. I've been in the situation where you are waiting for someone to say a few words, and then they come out with the paper or papers, and you think to yourself, "Oh, is that two sheets or three sheets, or how? What are we in for at this point?" So reading from anything is probably not something you want to do, and to have it in your mind and where it would be more honest and from the heart.
Yeah, but again, this is tough for people. So if you want to read your speech, which is fine, the only thing we recommend is, when someone's head is completely down and they're just
Yeah.
lost through their speech, to just, you can read it, but look up every now and then and, see the people, be in the audience as well, because what's important in speech making, we found too, is to be in the moment. Also, if you forget or lose your place, it's okay to say to the crowd, "Oops, I lost my place for a second." And people appreciate that because you're in the moment and you're human and people make mistakes and that's okay. Or if you're at an event and the caterer drops a huge tray of lasagna, it's okay to acknowledge that because you're in the moment. You don't have to have your head down buried in the script. You can break it up here and there.
You wrote for the Academy Awards with Conan O'Brien, this most recent hosting, and he's just been signed up to do it again. Do you look at those gigs and say, even looking back on it and say, "Oh, okay, that's my joke"?
Yeah. Sometimes, yes, I do. It's kind of not comedy etiquette to say which jokes are yours and which jokes, are not. But boy, Conan just knocked it out of the park. And I just recently did his podcast, And I reminisced to him. I said, I wished you luck beforehand. And I could tell he was loose. And he said, you know what? I just want to go out there and have fun. And he did.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I've seen that look of fear before a host goes out, and he was just raring to go. You can also take that as a way to tell your speech. Be excited about it. Nerves are normal. I mean, I do stand up still. I still get butterflies before I perform. It's normal to feel a little anxious. And actually, when you get a little nervous, it's a nice shot of adrenaline. So go with it and, have a good time with it. A lot of times people don't really go back to the beginning where this person, this couple has asked you to give a speech. That really shows how much you mean to them and how much they feel your speaking is going to really move them and move the audience. So I always tell someone who's giving a speech, really take that in. This is really an honor and a gift. So give back to them kind of what they've given to you and saying, will you please, honor us?
Yeah, I assume that when it goes well, it goes well, right? I mean, you feel that as it's going.
Yes, I think once you start a speech, you can tell whether the audience is with you or not. Another tip that we give in the book is, and I know this from my stand-up or my corporate speeches, is it's okay to ask the host, who's ever bringing you on, to kind of monitor the crowd. And, a lot of times they ask people to get up and people are mingling around or chatting or the band is tuning up. It's okay to say, would you mind when before I go on to just, quiet everybody down and just say, hey, if I can have your attention, we're going to start the speeches. Because that's also, in the moment too, and that will help a really good speech. But we really feel like if people follow the steps that we outline in the book, it's really not that hard to give a really good speech. There's really a lot of 101 in there that surprisingly people don't know. And especially with the templates we have, fill in the blanks, it really can be successful. And to have given a really good speech is a great feeling. Another tip that we say in our book, we've been to so many events where people give a great speech. And you should always wrap up with something heartfelt and then toast at a wedding, say, toast the couple. And then they go back to their seats. It's just so odd. It's nice to go over to whoever you're toasting and shake their hand, give them a hug, give them a kiss,
Yeah.
to kind of, complete the circle there. It's just sort of odd. You've given this heartfelt thing and then you stumble back to your seat. It's just weird.
Share the moment with
Yeah,
them.
absolutely.
Sure. Gloria Steinem once said to me that the thing, she hates public speaking. She said, I hate public speaking, but I've learned that you don't die. I've learned that it ends eventually, and that you are the one responsible for when it ends. And I thought, well, yeah, and because you'll make it through, and it's just, but then having fun with it is also enjoyable.
Absolutely. And, when you look back, when I sit down and I help someone with a speech, one of the first things I say is, I'm a stranger at a bar. Tell me about this person. Tell me, one or two stories about them. Tell me how you met. And usually the how you met story is always entertaining. It's usually quirky and something you wouldn't expect. And then when you think about two or three things about the person you're celebrating, it's usually a funny story. So you don't really have to dig that deep to come up with things that are great to say about a person. Like, for example, someone I know told a speech about their mom at a funeral, and he said, in his speech about how he asked his mom to pick him up some shredded wheat at the market. And she came home with three boxes because she said, "I wasn't sure which one you liked." So it was a cute little funny story about his mom, but it was also just showed how sweet she was and caring. So little stories, remembrances are just, the personal is the gold in a speech because you're the only person who's had this relationship with this person, and that makes it unique and makes it stand out. So really mind from that. Nobody else is going to have your stories.
I want to ask you one question about your career, and then as we wrap up, because this has just been so much fun, and it's such a great book. But the new season of Hacks is going to start soon. You've been writing on that show. You've written for so many amazing programs, and like a show like that, do you just know when it's going to be really good?
I guess really with any show that I've worked on, look, if you have an audience like we did at Seinfeld, each writer would have a pretty good idea from the live audience reaction whether it's going over well or not. So, certainly when I wrote the Marble Rye episode, we shot so much of that on location with, if you remember, Kramer driving the hansom cab and,
Right.
the Marble Rye with the fishing pole outside, that we didn't do in front of an audience. But when we played it back for the live audience, then we kind of turned to each other. And boy, we knew, I was so blessed to know that we had a winner. But when you shoot a show, like when I've worked on Curb, and there's no audience, you never really know until it comes out, and you keep your fingers crossed. But especially when I've worked with, Larry David is the showrunner of Curb Your Enthusiasm, to say that I trust his comedic take on things is quite an understatement. So it's just such a blessing to work on that show because when he would pick an idea that I would pitch, I just it felt like $1 million because I'm kind of, hearing from a comedy god to me. I know his taste is just, I trust his taste, and I feel like his taste is impeccable. So that always made me feel very lucky.
Do you like working in a room with writers, or are you
Yes.
happier by yourself?
Yes. Oh, I love the writer's room. I mean, Joe, it is just, it's a big reason why I expanded my career from stand-up, because I still do it, to comedy writing. Because stand-up is a great, fun, the most fun profession, but it's lonely because you're mostly on the road and by yourself. And to be in that comedy writer's room where you're just with the funniest people ever, and there's kind of a synergy, a ping pong of ideas that somebody's suggest a joke, and then somebody makes an adjustment to the joke, and then the next person, makes their adjustment, and it's like, bam, you've got the best joke ever. So I absolutely love, it's like my sweet spot in life to be in the comedy writer's room.
The name of the new book is How to Write a Funny Speech for a Wedding, Bar Mitzvah, Graduation, and Every Other Event You Didn't Want to Go to in the First Place. Carol Burnett wrote the foreword, for goodness sakes. How cool was
Did.
that?
Yes. Oh my God. Amazing. She is the loveliest person ever. I've written for her 50th anniversary show and for her 90th birthday show. Oh my God. Meeting a legend like that and then finding out they're the sweetest, kindest person ever is such a joy.
So wonderful. And Carol Leifer is the author of the new book, along with Rick Mitchell. Carol, you're an absolute delight. I thank you so much for spending time with us, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck with the book.
I really appreciate it. It was really fun talking to your audience.
Again, Carol Leifer's new book is How to Write a Funny Speech, along with Rick Mitchell. The book is published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.